the detainee bill, which was passed in the Senate yesterday and will probably go to President Bush's desk in the next few days so that he can sign it into law. This is pretty much the Congress having to get involved because the Supreme Court said that what the White House was doing when it came to detainees was not legal, was not constitutional, because Congress wasn't involved in setting that up. Now there are questions about this new law that Congress has passed and is sending off to the president. And in particular, two words are popping up. Those two words are habeas corpus, two Latin words that have a large place in the history of the United States, and particularly in the United States Constitution. When it comes to constitutional matters, the first person I like to turn to on this show is our friend Judge Andrew Napolitano. He is the judicial analyst for the Fox News Channel and has written great books like Constitution in Exile and Constitutional Chaos. Judge Knapp, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure having you.
The Cardinals, they're still in the hunt, right?
They're a half game up now, and it's going to be a very odd weekend here in town watching them and seeing how the Astros do as well.
I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I think you have the brightest manager in the business, so he can pull that rabbit out of the hat for you.
We'll see. We'll see. So you're a big Bush supporter. What do you think of this new bill?
The president would be quite surprised to hear me referred to as a big Bush supporter. I condemn the bill. The bill will be found unconstitutional by the courts, and I'll give you a couple of examples. Paul, if you were charged with a crime, tried and acquitted, you'd be expected to be set free, right?
Absolutely.
This bill allows the president to incarcerate these people after acquittal. Never mind after conviction, after acquittal. I don't think Hitler or Stalin ever claimed that power for themselves. So that's strike number one. Strike number two is what you talked about, habeas corpus. This is the right of all persons. It's been recognized in the Western world since the Magna Carta was signed in 1215 by a reluctant King John. The right of all persons to compel the jailer, whoever is confining them, to justify the confinement to a neutral judge. If you don't have that right, then the jailer can keep you locked up forever. So if you were charged with a crime, Paul, you would expect that the government, or if you were arrested by the government, you'd expect that they would charge you and release you, right?
I would think that that is one of the great things about America, that unlike many other countries, that's one of the things that we have as part of our law, as part of the bedrock of our law.
If you don't have habeas corpus, then the government doesn't have to charge you and doesn't have to try you, because there's no way you can get in front of a judge to have the judge say, all right, Mr. Prosecutor, what evidence do you have against Mr. Harris? Lay out the evidence and either charge him, try him, or let him go free. The president, if these people don't have the right to habeas corpus, could lock anybody up for as long as he wanted because that person can't get to a judge. Strike two. Strike three is the following. The Constitution says that the Congress can suspend habeas corpus only in times of rebellion and invasion. And it defined rebellion and invasion as violence in the streets to such an extent that the judges can't get into their chambers and the courthouses must close. Now, that was the case in Lower Manhattan for about a week after 9/11. It is hardly the case now. So the court will immediately undo this statute, which takes away the right to habeas corpus. Now, why does the president want to take away the right to habeas corpus? Because he obviously controls the executive branch. He's the president. His party controls the legislative branch. Republicans run both houses of Congress, but they can't control the courts. And the courts are faithful to the Constitution rather than their perception of what the electorate may want at the moment need to be kept out of the picture if George W. Bush is to have his way. It's an absolute disgrace, this getting rid of habeas corpus and this allowing incarceration after acquittal are two of the most un-American things I can think of.
All right, two other things that are in this bill that I want to ask you about, coerced evidence and secret evidence. You sat on the bench. Would you allow into your courtroom evidence that was coerced from anyone?
Well, no, and if I did, I would be reversed by an appellate court, and any conviction obtained by the coerced evidence would be thrown out. Here's the compromise they reached. The president wanted coerced evidence, even coerced from the defendant, to be used against him. Here's the compromise. You can't use coerced evidence from the defendant, but you can use coerced evidence from other persons. So you can torture someone into saying the defendant did it, just as long as you don't get it out of the defendant's mouth. That's absolutely absurd and truly un-American. Secret evidence, believe it or not, the McCain-Warner-Graham group won on. The president blinked on that one. If the prosecutor wants to introduce something to the jury and the judge, the defendant and his lawyers get to see it. There's no secret evidence. Now, there may be some classified evidence that the defendant would ask for to help him prepare his case. He's not going to get that. But he's not going to be kicked out of a courtroom so a jury can hear evidence against him and he can't. That also would violate the Constitution.
What about the president's supporters who say, you know, we've got lawsuits from these inmates at Guantanamo. They are clogging up our courts and they are detracting from the war on terrorism.
The federal courts hear about 9,000 cases a year. There are 450 people in Guantanamo Bay. There are 387 petitions for habeas corpus because the others haven't yet filed them. That's a lark and a farce to suggest that they're clogging up our courts. And even if they are, it's the most profound issue that a court can rule on. What is the authority of the jailer to keep the defendant in jail, especially when the jailer is making up the rules as he's going along, as George Bush has been doing?
All right, explain to me one other part in here, which is the restrictions on judicial review. Can you write legislation that says this legislation cannot be reviewed by a judge?
No. The legislation can be reviewed by the judge for constitutionality, but what the Congress did here was to say you can't make an application to a judge until after you're convicted by one of our military tribunals. This is an effort to stop people, to stop the detainees from getting into court before the trial even starts. The Supreme Court will throw that out as well.
Okay, so you're saying this has no chance of standing up. Will it ever go into effect, or is this the sort of thing that someone will file a suit immediately upon the president's signature, and it will be stayed, there'll be a TRO or whatever the term is, and then it'll work its way through the courts, and this probably won't ever go into effect?
You've described it very nicely. I don't think you'll see a single commission while Bush is president for two reasons. One, as I said earlier, he can lock these people up forever, so why bother trying them? The only reason he'd want to try somebody is if he wants to execute them. And two, by the time this gets its way to the Supreme Court, Bush's term will have expired and his successor will be in office. So don't look for these commissions to start anytime soon. In fact, don't look for them to start ever unless Bush gets another appointee to the Supreme Court, because then it'd be extremely dangerous. He'll have the five votes to uphold this. At the present time, he doesn't.
How would you write a law that would handle these people who, whether we call them enemy combatants or whatever, are suspected of being the people who want to destroy us?
I would follow the Geneva Conventions, which are very simple and straightforward on this. And they say simply, use the same system and the same procedure that you use on your own soldiers. Military court-martials, I've studied them, Paul. They are just as fair, in some respects even more fairer than federal district court trials. Use the same procedures on these guys that we use on our own soldiers, and all the nonsense that we've been arguing about last week will be gone. Of course, there's a right to confrontation. There's no hearsay. There's no coerced testimony. If you're acquitted, you get to go free, and you have a right to a speedy trial. Those are the rights we give our own soldiers, and the Geneva Convention says we have to give the same rights to enemy combatants. The Congress and the President are again violating the Geneva Conventions, and the court we'll call them for it.
All right, so you wouldn't have a problem with military tribunals as opposed to a criminal courthouse because you're saying that they pretty much follow the same rules?
Absolutely. Absolutely. U.S. military court-martials are exquisitely fair. In fact, you actually have, in one respect, more rights in a military court-martial than you do in a regular criminal prosecution. In a criminal prosecution, it is commenced by an indictment. An indictment is handed down by a grand jury. The grand jury meets in secret, and it only hears the government and the government's witnesses. In a military tribunal, the prosecution is commenced by an Article III hearing, sort of like a grand jury, but you can show up at that grand jury, and you can argue why you shouldn't be indicted and why you shouldn't be charged, a right that you don't even have as a civilian. So the Uniform Code of Military Justice actually actually grants you more rights when the government wants to prosecute you criminally than the federal criminal statutes do when you're a civilian.
They're giving you a lot of airtime on Fox News about this today?
All the time. It's an only in America.
Yeah. I always appreciate your expertise, and I know they're keeping you busy today, so I appreciate you taking the time to come on here.
It's a pleasure, Paul, and I guess by Monday we'll know if the Cardinals made it.
Yes. You know what? It may actually take till Wednesday of next week, because there could be a makeup game on Monday against the Giants and a playoff game against the Astros on Tuesday, and it's almost as complicated as habeas corpus.
Wow. And if they have that game against the Astros, my man Clements is going to be on the mound.
He might. Well,
pleasure.
we'll see.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Judge Knapp, Judge Andrew Napolitano, if you want to really see what a constitutional scholar writes about in plain and simple terms that you and I can understand. I mean, you hear the guy talking on Fox News and on this show, and you can see that he has that ability. Pick up his books, Constitutional Chaos and The Constitution in Exile. Both absolutely terrific, and I appreciate him kind of being our judicial consultant here on the Paul Harris Show.